إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له، وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. Verily the praise belongs to Allah, we praise Him, seek His assistance and forgiveness, and we seek refuge in Allah from the evil of ourselves and the evil consequences of our deeds. Whoever Allah guides, there is no one that can lead him astray, and whoever Allah leads astray, there is no one that can guide him. I bear witness that nothing deserves to be worshipped except Allah alone, and that He has no partners or associates, and I bear witness that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is His servant and His messenger. This evening, bi-idhnillahi ta'ala, we like to continue where we left off last week. And as we go through the hadith that the Shaykh has mentioned at the end of this topic, kana khuluquhu al-Qur'an. Yani, he, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, his character was the Qur'an, by Shaykh Abdul Razak, the son of Shaykh Abdul Muhsin al-Abad al-Badr, hafidhahum Allah, may Allah protect and preserve both of them. This is our ninth session in reading from the second part of the book that is related to the character of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And tonight, inshallah, we want to look at hadith number 5. And if we still have some time, we're going to skip hadith number 6 for this week because it's too long. And we're going to go to hadith number 7, which is a short hadith. So hopefully at least we can try to get 2 hadith in tonight. So tonight, inshallah, we're going to look at hadith number 5, and if possible, hadith number 7. Before we do that, we want to go back and review some of the topics that we discussed last week related to hadith number 4 from the question and study guide number 8. And by the way, in case I forget at the end of the class, somebody remind me to repeat it. But tonight will be the last class at this time, at Maghrib time, inshallah, starting next week. Because of, at this time of the year, as the Isha, Maghrib Isha prayer gets earlier, we're going to change the time of the class to after Isha Salat. So starting next week, inshallah, the class will be after Salatul Isha. And that's a relief for people coming from all the way from Long Island and stuff like that, right? Naam, alhamdulillah, mashallah. So please, somebody remind me, in case some people came late, to mention that next week the class will be starting after Salatul Isha. Okay, so from last week, study guide number 8, mention the incident which caused an uproar among the companions of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in the masjid of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and that was in hadith number 4 in this series of hadith. Now, the incident that caused the uproar. Now, Ibrahim. A Bedouin came to the masjid of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and stood in a corner of the masjid and urinated. Now, and this definitely led to an uproar, protest. People responding to this kind of behavior from a man, a Bedouin, he didn't know any better. He's used to being in the desert. Now, but indeed, it is an affair. It's not an insignificant matter. So the people were in uproar. Now, discuss the qa'ida, which, and by the way, they intended to stop him, but what happened? The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam told them, don't cut him off, leave him. And he let him finish what he has started. And the reasoning for the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam telling them to leave him is what we want to talk about in the second question, discuss the qa'ida, the principle which explains why the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam prohibited the people from interrupting the Bedouin from relieving himself. What is this principle, Abdul Haq?
Two reasons. The first being that if they had forced him to stop in the middle of his urination, that they could have caused harm to him.
Okay, if they had forced him to stop while he had already began to urinate, it could have caused harm to him. Now, you want to mention something else?
Yes. The second being, if they tried to remove him from the masjid while he was handling his business, that it would have the najasa would have spread everywhere.
If they would have tried to remove him while he was relieving himself, maybe it would have got all over the place instead of one place. Now, somebody, Ibrahim, you want
to... I wanted to mention the second point, but he mentioned...
Oh, he wanted to mention the second point. Tayyip. Anybody else? Now, Ibrahim over here.
The qa'idah that was mentioned was about the maslaha and mafsada.
The qa'idah that was mentioned is related to the maslaha and mafsada. Maslaha and mafsada. And this qa'idah, this principle is a very important principle. Some of the scholars mentioned with different wording. Al-Hafidh ibn Hajar al-Asqalani mentioned it in a wording that I didn't see before. And he explained the qa'idah from both sides. From both sides. Yani the qa'idah of repulsing the greater mafsada, the greater evil, while bearing patiently the lesser evil. Repulsing the greater one at the expense of the lesser one. Yani, that means one harm is greater than the other. So, yani, if you can escape from the greater one, then the lesser one, you know, is not as bad. And the other, from the other side, he said, yani, achieving the greater benefit while losing the lesser benefit. Yani, there are two benefits, one is greater than the other. So if you miss out on the lesser one, at least get the greater one. This is the principle that he mentioned here. He said, it is دَفَعُ أَعْظَمَ الْمَفْسَدَتَيْنِ, repulsing the greater of the two harms, بِإِحْتِمَالْ أَيْسَارِهِمَا, yani, while bearing patiently the lesser of them, وَتَحْصِيلُ أَعْظَمَ الْمَصْلَحَتَيْنِ, yani, achieving the greater of the two benefits, بِتَرْكِ أَيْسَارِهِمَا, أَيْسَارِهِمَا, yani, while, yani, losing the easier of them two. And then he explained it, yani, by saying that the bowel is a mafsada, and protecting the masjid from the bowel is a maslaha. The person urinating the masjid is a mafsada, but a greater mafsada is what he mentioned, that it may cause harm to him, to his body, to his clothing, and all over the masjid. That was a greater mafsada. So, yani, repulsing the greater mafsada and bearing patiently with the lesser one. And he said, تنزيح المسجد عنه مصلحة, this is a great maslaha to protect the masjid from this urine, but a greater maslaha is protecting, yani, the whole masjid from being polluted by, yani, by trying to stop this person from what he was doing. This is a very important principle. It's not in the book, so I can't say go back to the book and look at it, but in any case, yani, try to pay attention to it. Question number three, memorize the statement of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, in which he sallallahu alaihi wasallam explained to the Bedouin what is and what is not proper in the masajid. What is? Mustafa in the back. Okay, the masjid is not for urinating in filth.
It's for the remembrance of Allah.
The remembrance of Allah.
Recitation of Quran.
And prayer. Yani, not in that order, but those are the three things that he mentioned. Okay, somebody memorize this statement in Arabic from the actual words of the hadith now. Ibrahim?
لا تصلح والقدر إنما هي لذكر الله عز وجل والصلاة وقراءة القرآن.
نعم. طيب, mashallah. جزاكم الله خير. This is a very important statement from the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in reference to the status of the masajid, and yani, what is allowed and what is not allowed. And it doesn't mention every single thing, but it mentions the core of the matter. Naam. Question number four, summarize some of the other actions which might be included in the permissible and impermissible behaviors in the masajid. Other things besides the three things I mentioned in this hadith, that is, yani, the dhikrullah azza wa jalla, والصلاه وقراءه القران, what are other things that are permissible in the masjid, yani, besides these three things that are specifically mentioned? Now, Ibrahim, and then Ibrahim. Now, one or two permissible things.
I read the shaykh, he said permissible that for sitting in the masjid and speaking.
Sitting in the masjid, okay, sitting in the masjid is permissible. Now, sitting in the masjid for what though?
Waiting
from one prayer to the next prayer, waiting for the salat, or waiting for the salat, sitting in the masjid waiting for salat. Naam. You have the same one?
Reading books of a hadith.
Reading books, yani, knowledge, yani, reading books of knowledge, yani, hadith, tafsir, whatever. Naam. Also, I'm sorry, Abdullah Masood. Huh?
Masood, nikah, marriage.
Oh, marriage, yani, getting married, permissible in the masjid. Naam. He didn't mention that, but that's true, yes. I mean, I think somebody mentioned it last week. Now, Elihu? Etikaf, in the masjid for etikaf, for the purpose of worshipping Allah. Now, mawa'idhat, yani, listening to admonition, advice, instructions, khutbah, durus. Now, Naam. طيب, these are some of the things that he mentioned from the permissible things. As far as the things that are not permissible, or at least it is better that they should not take place in the masjid. Naam. What are some of the things that he mentioned? Naam, Abdul Karim.
Selling.
Buying and selling should not take place in the masjid. Naam. Elihu.
Raising the voice.
Raising your voice, yani shouting or screaming in the masjid without any need or necessity. Yani the khatib, when he gives the khutbah, he has to raise his voice so that people can hear him, right? And so on, like this. But raising the voice without any need or necessity. Musa.
If you lost something in the masjid, you shouldn't be.
Yani asking about something that was lost in the masjid, saying to the people, I lost something, anybody find my so and so and such and such. Not permissible in the masjid. Now, Ibrahim?
Khusumat,
arguing and disputing in the masjids. He took yours?
Huh?
Worldly matters. Talking about worldly matters. Worldly matters. يعني هذا خلاف الأولى. نعم. Huh? نعم. The masjid is not the place for you holding your conversations with whoever is calling you on the telephone. This is not the place for that. If a person receives an emergency telephone call, go out of the masjid and receive it. Not in the masjid, because not permissible. As we mentioned 101 times, it's not permissible to disturb people in the masjid who came to the masjid for worship, to pray, to read Quran, dhikr, dua. It's not permissible to disturb them by raising your voice, reciting Quran. What about talking on the telephone? It's not permissible. The Prophet said, do not do it. Let not one of you raise your voice above another, reciting the Quran. What about just holding general conversation? I'm on the telephone talking to somebody, and because they're in another country, I have to raise my voice. Like the telephone, yani, doesn't make it reach. Yani, you have to talk loud to make your voice reach another country. One brother told me, I'm talking to somebody in such and such country. I don't want to mention the country because I don't want to make it like I'm picking on anybody. I said, I'm talking to somebody in so and so country. Like, you're on the telephone. I'm Imam.
Now, there's a difference in asking people
who
find something that's lost in the masjid as opposed to finding something that was lost outside the masjid. Coming in the masjid, coming to people that lost something on the street, on Utica Avenue. Is it different? What's the difference in telling the people I left my wife upstairs in the masjid when you're in the masjid?
Allahu Akbar. Yes. You want? Maybe you want to answer. In any case, the point is, yani, there's some difference of opinion amongst the scholars concerning this, but the point is that the masjid is not the place for these things. The masjid is for the dhikr of Allah. And it's for the salat and qira'atul Qur'an. And whatever has those meanings, and whatever is other than that, Al-Hafiz ibn Hajar al-Asqalani said, everything other than that, those things and what has the same meaning as that, is khilaf al-awla. Khilaf al-awla. It should not be taking place in the masjid. We're saying haram, not everything other than that is haram, but it's khilaf al-awla. It's not, if it's not from those things or that which has the same meaning as that. Now,
my question is, what about fundraising in the masjid?
Allahumma musta'an. Allahumma musta'an. Yani, can the masjid request people to help the masjid? Need to pay the bills to maintain the masjid? Sure, sure. There's a difference of opinion about this. The scholars in Yemen say it's not permissible to ask for money in the masjid. And Sheikh Ibn Baz says that it is permissible if there's a need or necessity. In any case, there's a difference of opinion about it, but it's permissible, Wallahu A'lam. Okay, so, yani, some of the things that we mentioned which should not be taking place in the masjid, and also from amongst them is yani making the masjid as a recreation center or a social center where people go to a social club and they just talk about their affairs and having fun and laughing and joking. This is not the place for that. The masjid is not the place for that. Allahu musta'an. Naam. Okay, let's move quickly because our time is really upon us. I'm sorry, I shouldn't have got sidetracked with this. Discuss the response, that is the supplication of the Bedouin to the Prophet ﷺ, his response to him, to his good character, to his kindness and his manner of teaching him. What was his response, the Bedouin's response? Naam, Abdul Halim. Mercy, naam. He asked Allah to have mercy upon himself and the Prophet ﷺ alone and no one besides him. Anybody memorize this supplication? Because we're not going to be saying that one, right?
يرحم أحدا معنا.
معنا أحدا، نعم. الله يرحمني ومحمدا ولا ترحم معنا أحدا، نعم. And the last question mentioned some of the most prominent benefits derived by the scholars from this hadith, yani hadith number 4 of Anas ibn Malik radiallahu anhu. Some of the most prominent benefits. One, Abdul Halim first.
Hastening to remove harmful things.
Izalatu to yani mafsada. Naam.
Different dealing is how his dealing dealt with the condition of the individual.
Okay, the Prophet's good character. In this hadith is a good demonstration of the Prophet's good character and how he dealt with people in different situations. Now, Mustafa.
Teaching the jahil without harshness.
Teaching the ignorant person without harshness, without being rough to them. Naam, what else? What else in this hadith? Naam, Abdullah Masood.
How to purify
the najasa, or keeping the masjid free from impurities, naam. And how to do it also, naam. What else? Elihu.
Hastening to enjoin good and to forbidding wrong.
Hastening to enjoining good and forbidding wrong, naam. What else?
Compassion of the Prophet.
Huh?
Compassion of the Prophet.
The compassion of the Prophet, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He was compassionate, and he was sympathetic, he was kind, he was gentle, naam. Of the Prophet, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
The Prophet, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, using every situation to teach.
Okay, also, yani, use the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam taking advantage of the opportunity to teach. Okay, that's pretty much most of what we mentioned. Somebody mentioned keeping the masjids clean, but also the station, the status of the masjids, ta'zim al-masajid, yani the high status of the masajid, and also the importance of seeking, encouraging ease and discouraging hardship. Yani in the other narration of the hadith that's reported by al-jama'a illa Muslim, he said that the Prophet ﷺ said, indeed, you have not been sent. You have been sent to make things easy for the people. You have not been sent to make it difficult for the people. Okay, we're going to stop with that and look at the follows for tonight. Okay, so the hadith in the order that we are taking them is hadith number 5. Last week was hadith number 4, hadith number 5, and this is continuing the subject of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, how he dealt with people who didn't know any better, the jahil, and the person who had yani sayy al akhlaq, people who had bad character. And last week we saw how he dealt with yani the jahil person who really just didn't know any better. And tonight, inshallah, we'll look at a hadith that shows how the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam dealt with people of bad character, people who were ill mannered. And he was ill-mannered, rude, harsh, cruel. How he deal with them? Okay, this hadith is reported by Al-Bukhari and Muslim. This is a narration of Imam Muslim. Yani it was reported by Yahya ibn Kathir, narrated from Malik, that is Imam Malik, rahimahullah, and Ishaq ibn Abdullah, and Anas ibn Malik, radiallahu anhu, qal, kuntu amshi ma'a al-Nabiyyi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, wa alayhi burdun najraniyun ghalidhu al-hashiyati. Yani I was walking with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam while he was wearing a garment yani from najrani burdun najraniyun, and it had very rough yani coarse edges, the garment yani ghalidhu al-hashiya, the edges of it were coarse, were rough. Fa adrakahu arabiyun فَجَذَبَهُ جَذْبَةً شَدِيدَةً حَتَّى نَظَرْتُ إِلَى صَفْحَةِ عَاتِقِ النَّبِيِّ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ قَدْ أَثَّرَتْ بِهِ حَاشِيَةُ الرِّدَاءِ مِنْ شِدَّةُ جَذْبَتِهِ. Yani, then a Bedouin man caught up with the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم while we were walking, and he pulled him yani very strongly yani جَذْبَة شَدِيدَة, very roughly, such that when I looked at the surface of the neck or the shoulder, yani in this hadith it said atiqi, and in the other hadith unuq, yani his shoulder or his neck, I looked at the surface of his neck and I saw that it had left an impression upon it. Atharat bihi hashiyat al-rida, yani the edges, the rough edges of the garment left a mark on the neck or the shoulder of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, min shiddati jazbatihi, from the severity of the pulling, the way the man pulled his garment. قَدْ أَثَرَتْ بِهِ حَاشِيَةُ الرِّدَاءِ مِنْ شِدَّةِ جَذْبَتِهِ
ثم قال مر لي من مال الله الذي عندك. And then that Bedouin man, after jerking the Prophet ﷺ and pulling him by his garment roughly like that, then he said, order that someone yani bring for me or give me some of the wealth of Allah which is with you. Yani, it's not your wealth, it's Allah's wealth. Give me some of it. And in some of the narrations, yani, Al-Awza'i narrates, he said, أَعَطِنِي, yani مُرْلِي, meaning أَعَطِنِي, give me. And the narration of Bukhari, and another narration of Bukhari, he said, ثُمَّ قَالَ يَا مُحَمَّدْ, yani he called him by his name, yani by first name, as though he was somebody familiar with him, يَا مُحَمَّدْ. Yani, not يَا رَسُولَ اللَّهِ, يَا نَبِيَ اللَّهِ, يَا مُحَمَّدْ. Give me some of that wealth that belongs to Allah, that you have in your possession. Then Anas says, فَالْتَفَتَ إِلَيْهِ. The Prophet ﷺ turned to look at this man who's come from behind him, grabbing him by his garment and talking to him like this. He turns around to look. فَدَحِقَ. And in some of the narration said, the narration of Awza'i said, فَتَبَسَّمَ. فَدَحِقَ أَوْ تَبَسَّمَ. And the Prophet looked and saw the Bedouin man and he just laughed. Or he smiled at him. ثم أمر له بأطاع. Then he ordered somebody to give him something, يعني some wealth from the zakat. A couple of points related to this hadith. يعني Anas رضي الله عنه, you know that he was given by his mother, يعني, or left by his mother to the Prophet ﷺ to be a servant. So he spent a lot of time with the Prophet ﷺ, and he's describing in a lot of hadith how the Prophet ﷺ character was. In this case, he talked about specific thing, how he dealt with the rude, rough, crude, harsh, ill-mannered people. People that probably we come in contact with on a regular basis in this kind of society especially. And maybe not Bedouins, but worse than Bedouins. He said, we were walking and this Bedouin caught up with the Prophet ﷺ and snatched his garment and jerked him and pulled him such that it left some marks on his neck or on his yani shoulder from the severity of the pull. Then he said, then after that, as though that wasn't enough, then he said, now and I order you to order somebody to give me some of the money that you have that belongs to Allah. It's not even yours anyway. Give it to me. And what is important here, yani in some of the narrations actually it does say, لَا مِن مَالِكَ وَلَا مِن مَالِ أَبِيكَ. Yani some of this wealth, that's not your wealth, nor is it your father's wealth. Yani you don't have any authority over it. You don't have any yani ownership. It's not yours, not your father's, not your family's. And he means from the zakat, from the zakat. So the Prophet ﷺ, as Anas narrates, فَالْتَفَتَ إِلَيْهِ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهِ وَسَلَّمُ. Yani فَنَظَرَ إِلَيْهِ تَعَجُّبًا. And the Prophet ﷺ looked at him like amazed. This guy's grabbing me like this and then ordering me to give him something. I mean, if you wanted somebody to give you something, you would probably try to approach them nicely, even if you're pretending, right? You just try to come nice so that you can get what you want. So the Prophet ﷺ looked at him amazed, or yani, in some of the narrations said, he smiled at him. And this indicates that the Prophet ﷺ did not change his posture, nor was he affected by the evil, ill behavior of that Bedouin. He wasn't affected by it. He still maintained himself. He just turned around, he looked, he laughed, or he smiled. And he, okay, what is it? What do you want? You know? And then he ordered somebody to give him from the zakat. And I looked at a lot of different explanations of this hadith in Umdatul Qari, explanation of Bukhari, and the Sharh of Qastalani, Irshad al-Sari, and other books of explanation, and some of the points that they mentioned concerning this hadith, just quickly we're going to mention. From amongst what's mentioned by Al-Ayni in Umdatul Qari, he said, فِهِ لُطْفُ رَسُولِ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهِ وَسَلَّمُ. Yani the gentleness, the politeness, the courteousness of the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم. وَحِلْمُهُ وَقَرَمُهُ. And his hilm, yani his forbearance, his tolerance, he was able to bear a lot. He was very tolerant of the people. And that's a little different than patience. Yani hilm is different than patience. Patience means you just bear it. But hilm means you actually tolerate people. You're not like going crazy, you're not getting upset. Because the person might be patient with something, and they could be disturbed completely. But they just, you know, they don't scream, they don't shout, they don't curse anybody, they don't fight. But tolerance means that a person is able to bear it. And they have forbearance. They have a lot of tolerance yani, before they reach the end of it. And also in this hadith, yani, يَدُلُّ عَلَىٰ أَنَّهُ عَلَىٰ قُلُقٍ عَظِيمٍ, that the Prophet ﷺ was on a very high, sublime, lofty standard of character. And also, and he also mentioned صبره, his patience, يعني شدّة صبره على الأذى في النفس والمال, that he had extreme patience from the harm to himself or to the wealth. He was patient with all of these things. وتجاوز عن جفاء من يريد تعلفه على الإسلام, and also that he would overlook the one who was rough or harsh and ill-mannered in order to bring this person to Islam. And this is a very important point, that sometimes and we have to be patient with people who are not Muslims in order to bring them in, to get them close so they can at least get a chance to see Islam. And sometimes they don't ever see Islam because of the behavior of the people, the Muslims I mean. So they don't even see Islam. They don't want to hear about Islam. They don't want to come near a masjid. And also he mentioned in Umdat al-Qadi that the rulers, they should follow the example of the Prophet. Those who came after him should follow the example of the Prophet. في خلقه الجميل, in his beautiful character. من الصفح والإعضاء والدفع بالتي هي أحسن, يعني in overlooking the harms or the evil of the people and pardoning the people and repulsing evil with that which is best. Yani that the rulers, the people in charge of people who came after the Prophet ﷺ, should follow his example in the way that he dealt with the people. And then one more point that was mentioned of importance, yani which is related to the point that we just mentioned, وَفِيهِ استحباب احتمال الوالي من أذى قومه, yani that it is mustahab, it's commendable, praiseworthy, that the wali, yani the ruler of the people, bear patiently the harm that comes from his people. He has authority over them, but he should be patient with the harm that comes from them. Rather today it is that the people have to be patient with the harm that comes from the ruler. Huh? I mean, this is something to think about. It doesn't have to be the ruler. It's the head of the family, the boss on the job, the head of whatever, everybody who's in charge of somebody. Okay, Shaykh Al-Uthaymeen, rahimahullah, rahmatan wasiyan, in his explanation of Riyad al-Salihin, he says in this, Riyad al-Salihin, he said, هذه الحديث, Al-Imam Nawawi, rahimahullah, mentioned these hadith in the chapter, this hadith came under Riyad al-Salihin in the chapter, Al-Afu wal-I'rad an al-Jahileen, yani pardoning, forgiving, and turning away from the evil of the ignorant. Turning away from them, just turning away from them, not like punishing them. And from those hadith is the hadith of the Bedouin man who we just mentioned right now. The Shaykh says, فَانْظُرْ إِلَىٰ هَذِهِ الْخُلُقَ الرَّفِيعِ, look at this lofty character of the Prophet ﷺ. Huh? Look at this, he said. لَمْ يُوَبَّخُ, he didn't yani reprimand him. He didn't rebuke him or scold him. Yani the Prophet ﷺ didn't rebuke him. وَلَمْ يَضْرِبْهُ, nor did he hit him back for grabbing him by his neck like this. وَلَمْ يَكْهَرْ, yani he didn't show yani في وجهه disdain for the man. Contempt. He didn't look at him like, you filth. He didn't look down on him. وَلَمْ يَعْبَسْ, nor did he even frown on him. بَلْ دَحِكَ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ أَتَبَسَّمَ, rather he laughed. He just laughed. يعني a laugh of kindness. Or he smiled at him. وَهَذَا مَا أَمْرٌ لَهُ وَمَا هَذَا أَمْرَ لَهُ بِأَطَائِن, and in addition to this, يعني after all that, the Prophet only smiled at him. And then in addition to that, he still ordered that he be given some charity. The Shaykh says, نحن لو أن أحدا فعل بنا هذا الفعل, but as for us, Shaykh Al-Uthaymeen is saying this, as for us, if somebody was to do the like of this to us, we would never be agreeable to this. Rather, we would fight him. بَأَمَّا الرَّسُولُ صَلَّى اللَّهِ وَسَلَّمَ الَّذِي قَالَ اللَّهُ فِيهِ, but as far as the messenger, the one who Allah said about him, وَإِنَّكَ لَعَلَى خُلُقٍ عَظِيمٍ, but indeed you are on a high standard of character. فَأَنَّهُ إِلْتَفَتَ إِلَيْهِ وَضَحِكَ إِلَيْهِ وَعَطَاهِ أَطَاعَ, but as far as the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم, he just looked at him, he laughed or smiled, and then he gave him yani some charity. وهكذا ينبغي للإنسان أن يكون ذا ساعة. وإذا اشتد الناس أن يسترخي هو. And this is the way that is expected that the people should be, يعني the Muslims, that they should be patient, long suffering. And if the people became very, very harsh, then you, the one who is the recipient of their harshness, you should just relax, take it easy. Take it easy, calm down. Don't feed into it, don't be reactionary. And then the Shaykh says some other things, and he says, and he mentioned Muawiyah radiallahu anhu and how he dealt with the people as a ruler, and he said this is the way we should deal with the people, yani be gentle and easy with them. وَهَكَذَا يَنْبَغِي لِلْإِنسَانِ أَنْ يَكُونُ دَائِمًا فِي سِيَاسَتِهِ رَفِيقًا حَلِيمًا. And this is the way that people should always be in their siyasi, and the way that they deal with the people under their authority, رَفِيقًا yani gentle, حَلِيمًا tolerant, forbearing. كَمَا كَانَ نَبِيِّ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ, just as the Prophet was. And then the Shaykh closed by saying, نَسَأَلُ اللَّهُ تَعَالَىٰ أَيُرْزُقْنَا وَإِيَّاكُمْ حُسْنُ الْآدَابُ وَالْأَخْلَاقِ. And we ask Allah, the Most High, to grant us, me, meaning the Shaykh is saying himself, and all of you, yani good manners and good character. I know we don't have a lot of time left, but we're just going to go quickly to the next hadith. And it's not the next hadith in order. Next hadith will be hadith number 6. But because it's very long, we'll take it next week. And this week we'll take a short hadith. Hadith number 7. Hadith number 7 is the hadith of Abi Hurairah radiallahu anhu. An Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam qal, Inni la anqalibu ila ahli faajidu at-tamrata saqitatan ala firashi fa'arfa'uha li'aqulaha. ثم أخشى أن تكون صدقة فألقيها. يعني the hadith of Abu Hurairah رضي الله عنه, may Allah be pleased with him, from the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم, that he, the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم, said indeed لأنقلبوا, that I will go يعني إلى أهلي, to my family, I will يعني quickly proceed to my family, and I will find a date, a tamra, that has fallen on my bed, in my house, on my bed, and I will raise it up, yani, to eat it, and then I will fear that perhaps it is from sadaqah, so I will throw it, yani, put it back, I will not take it, out of fear that it could be sadaqah. Some of the scholars said, in reference to, I'm looking at the Sharh of Mukhtasar Sahih al-Bukhari, Manar Qari, he said the meaning of this hadith is that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is saying, Wallahi, inni la ajidu tamra ala firashi. Yani, by Allah, I will find a date on my own bed. Ba'da rujui ila bayti. After I return to my house, I found this date. Fatamilu nafsi ilayha. And my nafs desired it. Yani, to eat it. So I put it up to my mouth to eat it. Fa'akhsha an takuna min tamrat al-zakat. But then, I would think, and I fear, that perhaps it could be from the dates that were part of zakat. Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, his family, immediate family, they are not yani allowed to take from zakat. He said, I fear that it could be from zakat, so I will leave it, I will return it to its place. This hadith is reported by Bukhari Muslim. In this book it says, fi yani fiqh al-hadith. This hadith indicates, he mentions two things of importance. The first of them, that those things which are insignificant, yani al-ashya al-nafiha, al-tafiha, yani things that have little value, that people, yani, if somebody lost it, they wouldn't care about it. That these things, if a Muslim finds it, then he may take it. Just by finding it, he possesses it, it's his. And he doesn't have to, لا يحتاج ولا يجب عليه تعريفها. And he doesn't have to, like if you find something of value in the masjid, in the street, any place, you're not allowed to keep it. You have to announce it for 1 year to see if the owner will come back. And if they don't, then you can use it. And if they came back after that, after you use it, you have to give it back still. But you have to announce it. But this kind of thing that has no value, you don't have to do this. It's not yani necessary. There's no need to do that. And this is because the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, in this hadith we see that when he found this date on his bed, he raised it up to eat it without announcing to anyone that is this somebody's date or whatever, to try to find its owner. And he didn't, like, it was no need, because this is of what? Of those things that have no real value. And this indicates that if somebody finds something from those things that it is known, yani, as a matter of fact, without any doubt, that the whoever owned it, they will not be searching for it. They will not be come back looking for it. So then for that reason, you don't have to make any kind of announcement. Also related to this, in another explanation of Bukhari, Ibn Battal, he says concerning this point, فَدَلَّ هَذَا الْحَدِيثَ عَلَىٰ إِبَاحَةِ الشَّيْءَ التَّافَ الْمُلْتَقَطِ. يعني that something that doesn't have any great value, if somebody finds it, it's permissible. وَأَنَّهُ مَعَفُوْ عَنْهُ. يعني person is pardoned or forgiven for that which he finds. You don't have to find anybody. خارج من حكم اللقطة. It doesn't have the ruling of something of value that you find that you have to search for its owner. And this is because, يعني the reason for this is because the person who owns such a thing, if they lost it, they're not going to come back looking for it. And for that reason, it was permissible, it was lawful for the Prophet ﷺ to have eaten that date, لولا شبهة الصدقة. If it wasn't for him having doubt that it could be from the sadaqah, from zakat. If not for that, he could have eaten it. He was about to eat it. But it was stopped him from eating it, not because it was a luqta, something that somebody lost and you found it. No, because he feared that it could have been sadaqah. Second point that the author mentions here, he said, second point for this hadith is that, أَنَّهُ يَسْتَحِبْ مِنْ بَابَ الْوَرَعَ التَّوَقُّفْ عن تناول الأشياء التافهة حرصا على سلامة الدين. يعني that it's mustahab from the bab of wara, يعني of piety, of cautiousness, of taking precautions, of being careful, from the bab of wara. From this perspective, it is mustahab التوقف, to stop. Don't be hasty in doing something that requires caution. Be careful, wait, make sure what you're doing. Yani devouring, consuming something, yani even something of insignificance, something of little value. Hirsan ala salamatul deen. Yani if it could be that, yani that thing could cause harm to you in your deen. Yani because that's the meaning of this hadith, that the Prophet was afraid that it was from zakat, and that's not permissible. So if it's something that could be harmful in your deen, then he says it's mustahab, yani from min bab al wara, of piety and cautiousness, to hesitate, to wait, to stop, to think, hirsan ala salamat al deen, in order to protect, yani to say, to make safe and secure your deen, your religious obligations to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this is based on the saying of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in the hadith. He stopped and he thought and he took precautions and he hesitated because he said, what, thumma akhsha an takuna sadaqatan, because I fear that it might be from sadaqah, that which is not permissible. For inna Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam qad imtana'a min an aqliha tawarra'an wa ihtiyatan makhafatan an takuna min tamr sadaqah. Yani this is because the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, what stopped him from eating that date was his wara, his piety, his cautiousness. Yani being careful of what you do. Wa ihtiyatan, and not taking a chance. Yani not taking a chance, for fear that it could be from the dates of sadaqah. And one last point, yani concerning this hadith, Al-Imam Hafiz ibn Hajar Asqalani in Fathul Bari, he says concerning this hadith, and he mentions this hadith under another chapter, and he mentioned it several places in the book, and he says, قَوْلُهُ وَقَالَ حَمَّامٌ إِلَىٰ آخِرِهِ وَصَلَهُ فِي اللُّقْطَةِ بتمامه ولفظه عن أبي هريرة رضي الله عنه. He said that, يعني it was said that Hammam said, يعني in his narration of this hadith, one of the narrators of the hadith, he said that first he mentioned the hadith with its complete chain, and he mentions it under the subject of al-luqat, يعني those things which are found, يعني somebody lost them and somebody found them. And he said the completion of this hadith is as it came from Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhu, an Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the hadith that we just mentioned, that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, indeed, I will return to my family and I will find a date that has fallen upon my bed and I will raise it up to eat it, and then I will fear that it will be, that it could be from the sadaqah, yani that I'm not permitted to eat from, so I will return it. Al-Hafiz ibn Hajar Asqalani says, قلت ولم يستحضر القرماني لفظ رواية حمام. Yani that Qarmani, one of the explainers of Bukhari, he didn't call to mind the actual wording of this hadith in the narration of Hammam, but he said tamam al hadith ghayr madhkur, yani the completion of this hadith is not mentioned. And here al-Hafiz mentions the completion of this hadith in another narration, where the Prophet ﷺ said, like, I put it up to my mouth to eat it, but then I feared that it would be from the sadaqah, so I threw it back. He said, لَوْ لَا أَن تَكُونَ صَدَقَةً لَأَكَلْتُهَا. If it wasn't for the fact that it could be from the sadaqah that I'm not permitted to eat from, if it were not for that, I would have eaten it. I would have eaten it. And this proves that those things which have no great value, if you found them, you can do as you like with them. There's no problem. But here the Prophet ﷺ was only restrained because of fear that it could be from sadaqah. If it were not for that, he said, I would definitely have eaten it. Al-Hafiz ibn Hajj al-Asqalani says, قُلْتُ وَالنُّقْتَةُ فِي ذِكْرِهِ هُنَا مَا فِيهِ مِنْ تَعْيِينَ الْمَحَلِ الَّذِي رَأَى فِيهِ التَّمْرَ وَهُوَ فِرَاشِهِ صلى الله عليه وسلم وَمَا ذَلِكَ لَمْ يَأْكُلْهَا وَذَلِكَ أَبْلَغُ فِي الْوَرَى. يعني the point يعني of interest in this story after the adhan. نعم الحافظ بن حجر الأسكلاني رحمه الله, he mentions يعني that an interesting point يعني that perhaps يعني would be considered as يعني some unnecessary details is that is the mention here in this hadith where the Prophet identifies the place in which he saw the date. Yani, that he didn't just say he found a date. He didn't even just say in his house, but he said, on my bed. Yani, think about this for a minute. In your own house, on your own bed, you find something. If Hafiz ibn Hajj al-Asqalani say, this is an interesting point here. وَمَا ذَلِكَ لَمْ يَأْكُلْهَا. And even in spite of that, in his house, on his bed, he didn't eat it. وَذَلِكَ أَبْلَغُ فِي الْوَرَى. And this is the highest extent of wara, of piety. Yani cautiousness here, I mean. Cautiousness of taking precautions, being careful in every way possible of what could cause harm to you, especially in the matters of your deen. وعليكم السلام ورحمة الله. وقال المحلب. And then يعني الحافظ, he also mentions, he quotes from the earlier scholars who explained Bukhari. He said, إنما تركها صلى الله عليه وسلم تورعا وليس بواجب, لأن الأصل أن كل شيء في بيت الإنسان على الإباحة حتى يقوم دليل على التحريم. And the Muhallab, he said that indeed, verily, the Prophet ﷺ, he only left that date tawarru'an, out of cautiousness. Yani out of extreme cautiousness, fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Not because it was obligatory for him to leave it, but out of cautiousness. Because it wasn't even clear that it was zakat. But maybe, perhaps it could have been. That's the extent of the care of the Prophet ﷺ in protecting himself from that which could be displeasing to Allah. And sometimes people are, I say people, okay, because maybe I want to say sometimes we, I'll say we. Sometimes we are careless, we are reckless, and we don't really pay attention to things that really require our care. If we have that kind of consciousness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and fear of falling into that which could be displeasing to Him. He said that this was, Dani, that the Prophet ﷺ, he didn't have to leave it, but he left it out of wara. Because the original ruling, al-asl, anna kulla shayin fi bayt al-insan ala al-ibaha, that everything that's found in your house is permissible for you. It's in your house. That means it's lawful for you. Until there's a proof of it being prohibited for you. Because the original rule is not that somebody else's property is in your house. Your house is yours. Unless you know that they brought it there and asked you to hold it for them, that's different. But you found something there, that means that's yours. Unless there's a proof of otherwise. And then finally, the Shaykh al-Hafiz, he says, وَفِيهِ تَحْرِيمِ قَلِيلَ الصَّدَقَةِ عَلَى النَّبِيِّ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمُ. And also in this hadith is an indication of the prohibition of the Prophet ﷺ even taking a little bit of sadaqah. Not sadaqah is prohibited for him, even if it's just a date. One date. It's not like $100,000, like the people today, they're stealing millions and thousands. No, even one date is prohibited, he doesn't take it. Yani, not even prohibited. Perhaps he's saying, maybe it could be from sadaqah. And it's even one date Imagine the people today who are responsible for the wealth of the lands, of the nations, of the people, and how they just take freely. Yani, this is the example of our Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Yani, in this hadith, the indication that it's prohibited even to take a little bit of the sadaqah for the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. وَيُوْخَذُ مِنْهُ تَحْرِيمْ كَثِيرِهَا مِنْ بَابِ الْأَوْلَى. And from that, we can also understand مِنْ بَابِ الْأَوْلَى, yani that more so, yani we can understand that it's prohibited for the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam to take a lot from the sadaqah. If it's prohibited to take a little bit, then by yani, more rightly so, it's prohibited for him to take just like the people are taking today. طيب, we're going to stop here. سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك أشهد أن لا إله إلا أنت استغفرك وأتوب إليك. There's a question. How much time for the iqama? Huh? Okay, so we could take, and if there's any question about what we talked about tonight, And remember, next week, inshallah, we're going to go back to hadith number 6 that we skipped tonight. So next week, inshallah, we're going to start with 6, and then we'll go to 8 and 9 like that. Some of the hadith that are coming now are shorter hadith, so hopefully we can take 2 at least, or maybe sometimes 3 hadith. And in one, Abdul Haq first. And the time change. Zakallah khair. And next week we're going to start with hadith number... What hadith we skipped tonight? 6? 6. Okay, we're going to go back to 6. And also next week, the class is going to start after Isha. Any time change for the class. You know, at this time of the year, we always change the time. So the class will begin after Salat al-Isha, immediately after Salat al-Isha, bi-idhnillah ta'ala. Naam, Abdul Ibrahim?
We spoke on the last hadith about the wara' of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
We know he is the most justified one, those who in places they would seem to have wara', yani caution.
No.
Or ask about matters that are above their level of ibadah. They haven't reached that level. But they will have wara' in the place, and the wara' is not actually coinciding with their actual level of taqwa. Like asking about nawafil, and they are
okay, so you're saying that there are people, sometimes they're asking about things which is giving the impression to others that they really fear Allah, and in reality it's not so. And they're asking about nawafil, voluntary duties, do we have to do this, do we have to do that, and they're not even performing the obligatory duties. Yeah, so I mean, just a statement or a question?
No, it's like a statement, because we're supposed to emulate the Prophet.
Now,
but yeah, just try to understand the hadith
in relation
to us.
Yeah, so I mean, perhaps yani, the point is that yani, the wara of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, it was real. Yani, he was yani taking those precautions because he really yani was concerned. He was feared yani doing anything that would be displeasing to Allah, and so it should be for us real. He's our example. And these hadith, brothers and sisters, and I'm going to keep saying this again until we end yani this course, and these hadith are intended to be a proof for us, not against us. Yeah. Yani, meaning the point of reading these hadith and reflecting upon them is so that we act upon them, not that we just learn some hadith. Because if we don't practice them, it will be a proof against us, and it will only be a proof for us if we act upon it. And the Prophet ﷺ said, the hadith that all of us know very well, I don't even have to say it, right? You can tell me what hadith it is. Al-Qur'an hujjatun laka. Now, the Qur'an will be a proof for you or against you. And meaning, if you practice it, it will be a proof for you. If you don't practice it, it will be a proof against you. And that's the way these hadith should be for us. Every one of us should be saying to ourselves, how do I implement this? What am I waiting for? I have to do this. And sometimes you read a hadith or you read the explanation of the hadith, I don't know about you, I do. Sometimes I become concerned. Like this is a tall order. And we have to do this. This is not just entertainment. You should be worried when you read these hadith. How are you going to do it? You have to do it. Otherwise it can be against us.